Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you, honor you, and thank you for your kindness, your love, your presence with us, the power of your word in our lives. Once again, we open our hearts and our minds to receive your word gladly, with faith and meekness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you having a beautiful day? I want us to share, beginning with this afternoon, or we'll have a few meetings on this. We'll start today on seed faith. I want to explain that to you from the Bible so you can apply it for your life. Amen. Seed faith. What is it? And what does the Bible say about it? How do you apply it? Seed faith. What do you mean by seed faith? It actually means the application of faith through or according to the seed principle of life. It means applying one's faith by the seed principle of life. There is the principle of life of a seed. And now, learning to apply your faith according to that principle, the principle of life of a seed. That's the meaning of seed faith. So, you may not find the term seed faith in that way in the Bible, but I'm letting you know what it means when you hear it. I am aware that there are a lot of people who use the term and don't even understand what it means. But it is important for you to know what it means and how it came to be so. So in the church world, we call it seed faith. And one of the chief proponents of the message of seed faith is Oral Roberts. He made it popular. I didn't say he started it, but he made it popular. Praise God. And to the point that many people think that he originated the thought. No, he got it from the Bible. Came from the Word of God. That's why it works. That's the reason it cannot fail. If it is of men, it will fail. But it cannot fail because it's from the Word of God. And there's a special incident that happened in his life that caused him to become very much aware of the seed faith principle, and that made him study the Word of God about it. It is said that a certain farmer who had some problems in his life and things weren't moving well. The man had been a farmer and he needed money, and he understood farming. He was a farmer. So one day, sitting in his house and thinking, what is he going to do about his problems, which were so many, he came with the idea that if God could multiply his seed in the farm, God ought to be able to multiply money. So he said, well, I have some money in the house, and it's just like the few seeds that I have in the house. But when I put these seeds in the ground, they multiply. So he said, I'm going to take God at his word. If God can multiply the seeds in my farm, he can multiply the money. Praise God. So he took the money and went to Oral Roberts. And he said, man of God, I've come to plant this seed. And at the time, Oral hadn't understood this yet. And the farmer said, if God can multiply my seeds in the farm, he can multiply my money. So I'm giving you this. I want God to multiply it. And the man prayed with him, and the farmer went back home. Shortly afterward, his life had a new meaning. Praise God. See, he knew the principle that was involved in farming, and he applied it. And from there, Aura began to study the Bible to understand how it works. Because he was a preacher and he didn't understand it. But the farmer understood it. So he thought, if this thing works, it must be in the Word of God. Hallelujah. And he got to find out. So, I'm looking at this thing, and many things have come to my mind. There are a lot of people who have so many needs. And sometimes you wonder, when are the problems ever going to be solved? Have you ever thought about somebody who's going through problems, difficulties, and then year after year, and the fellow's getting older, and then he's wondering, will God ever solve these problems? Will I really ever come out? Sometimes you see some other folks who have the same problem like you, and then the case has become so bad, and then you look at you, and fear gets a hold of your heart, because you're looking at them, and you're thinking, maybe what's going on in their lives may be the result in mine. And because of that fear, many give up. Some even commit suicide. So, that's one reason I want to share this with you, so you get to know it. And if you can apply it for your own life, you can help somebody else apply it. This is one sure way of coming out of trouble. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's one way to prosper. It's God's way. It is available to everybody and anybody. Whether you know somebody or you don't know somebody. Whether you got people to help you or not. Whether you have enough money or not. Whether you have a job or you don't. It makes no difference. This will work for anybody under any circumstance of life. Hallelujah. You understand it now? All right. So, I'd like us to look at it beginning with Genesis. See, every major thought in the Bible can be traced to the book of Genesis. That lets you know that right from the beginning, God already put the idea there. So we can understand it was always in the mind of God, and that was His plan, that was His purpose, before the devil tried to ruin things through Adam. Genesis chapter number 1. Oh, glory to His name forever. I am reading from verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now I want you to understand what a seed is like. A seed, the power of a seed has nothing to do with its size. It's got nothing to do with its looks. But there's something about a seed that is beyond human understanding. And that thing is the life-giving principle of a seed. It appears to me that every seed has the Word of God working in it. Hallelujah. Because there's no way of finding out, there's no way of getting to know why the seed will produce. Why would it reproduce? Why? We just know it does. Praise God. Why would it do that? What is the thing that makes it reproduce? There's nobody on earth who can tell you that. But they all know there's a law that causes it to reproduce. But what made that law work, they don't know. It's just like, that's why it's a law. You see, it's like the law of gravity. We cannot explain why everything is attracted to the center of the earth. But we know everything is attracted to the center of the earth. Praise the Lord. And so we apply that principle to other things in life. We know it's there. We know it doesn't fail. We know under all circumstances it will work, except a higher law operates over it. See? The same thing with the seed. Why it works, we can't tell. But the Bible does tell us why. Hallelujah. The Bible shows us that God said it. Amen. When God said it, it came to pass. Hallelujah. All right. So, I want us to read that verse 11 again. And God said, let the earth bring forth the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. God commanded the earth to bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree whose seed is in its fruit. God commanded the earth to bring forth, and it came to pass. Now you go to chapter 2 Genesis. I want to show you something there. We will start reading from verse 4, Genesis chapter 2. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And now watch this, verse 2. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, three things we observe here. Number one, the plants were not found. It says before they were there. But God had spoken, and the plants were still not found. It says for two reasons. One, God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, which means the rain was needed for the plants to grow. Amen. The number two, he says, and there was not a man to till the ground. God also needed somebody to cultivate the ground. So, until God did this. So, look at verse 8. We're going to read from verse 8 right on to verse 10. And the Lord God planted a garden. Now look at him. God has a garden now. All right? He has a garden. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. God put the man whom he had formed. Adam was in the garden that God had planted. And out of the ground made the Lord God, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So he caused a river through that garden to water the garden. God did all this. He put the man there, and then later on you can read it for yourself. God told the man to take care of it. Hallelujah. But it was God who planted the garden. Amen. So we noticed something. There had to be the sowing of the seed. There had to be the watering. And there had to be the tilling of the soil, the cultivating of the soil. And these three things are so important. Now, I want us to look at something. Here, it says that God made the plants to grow. Look at verse 9. Chapter 2, one more time. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. God caused them to grow. Hallelujah. God did it. Which means He is the one that ministers to you the seed that is needed. Now, seed here refers to that thing, whatever it is, that's going to reproduce for you to have a harvest or to have a multitude. Here I am. I need. See, I want you to observe something here. God never intended for every man on the face of the earth to be a farmer dealing with pence. Okay? But he did something. Through the teaching of the Word of God, he let us know that there is a principle, something that we can do to see our own creativity. Do you understand? He did it for us to understand. And he applied it in other things about life. Now, God can make a promise to you, but until you operate in the principles of the kingdom, the promise may never work. You know, in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us how that Adam and Eve ate of the tree in the midst of the garden that God said not to eat of. And then God spoke to the man and said, have you done what I asked you to do? The man said, the woman you gave me asked me to do it, and I did. Come on, chapter 3. Let's read for ourselves. Chapter 3. Verse 9, I'm going to read a little fast, so I want you to follow quick. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman thou gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I did it. And the Lord God, he doesn't have a dialogue with the devil. He just says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dost thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Praise God. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Praise the Lord. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. Do you notice he didn't curse Adam? God didn't curse Adam. He didn't. Observe it. Look. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Can I tell you something? God is wonderful. Do you know why God didn't curse Adam? Can I quickly tell you? Sometimes when I study the Bible, I'm amazed at the wonder of God, his kindness and his perfection. He's so perfect. He doesn't forget anything. Let me quickly tell you this. When God made Adam, he was both male and female. Do you understand? He was both male and female. He had both male and female characteristics. And that's according to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says that God blessed them. He called his name Adam, and God blessed them. All right? Now, he takes something out of Adam and makes a woman out of that bone. That's a separate individual. But Adam is still Adam. All right? But now he's lost his female characteristics. They're out of him. So he remains male. All right? But God already blessed this man. Now the man does something wrong, and it is impossible for God to curse what he has blessed. Check it for yourself. God blessed him before Eve was made. Now, he does something wrong, Eve does something wrong, and God says to Eve, I will multiply your sorrows. In sorrow shall you bring forth children. That's a curse. But Adam, God says, I'll curse the ground because of you. He can't curse the man because he's blessed. Are you still out there? When God blesses, he cannot reverse it. God does not bless and curse together. Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, boy. Oh, ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Ho! Oh. You know, that's what praising him for. Listen, it's not the fact that, oh, all right, all the men are blessed and all the girls are cursed. That's not the point. The point is, God is so wonderful. He's so perfect. He doesn't change things to ruin anybody. He only does things when he makes the change, it's only for your good. He will not bless and then curse you. He'll never do it. So if in your life you're thinking maybe you have a curse working, you know, I hear people preaching and they say that some have curses in their families and those curses are working against you, so your job is not good, you don't have money, there's a curse in your family and all that junk. That's junk. Alright? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, old curses are passed away. It doesn't matter how cursed your great grandpa was. Even if he cursed you, when you are born again, the curse is reversed. You cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot. It's impossible. It just won't work. The Bible says he are called to inherit a blessing. You cannot be cursed. Never. You were cursed before you were born again. The man who was cursed is dead, and there's a new man come out of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Alright, so back to Genesis the third chapter. Alright, and we were in verse 17. I want you to observe something. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Why? It says, because it's going to be hard for you to get something out of it. The ground is cursed for your sake. But I want you to observe something. Now, mark this very carefully. We're going somewhere. Are you hearing me? Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, do you know that this is not a curse? It's bad talk, but it's not a curse. Why? It is the result of his sin. He had said to them before, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, you don't touch it. Don't eat of it, because the day you do, you will die. Now the man does, and God tells him the result of his sin. He announces to him the result of his sin. Now, this is the explanation of death to the man. Now, but that's not all, alright? Oh, praise God. This is beautiful. Now, would you turn to Genesis chapter number 8? How many of you know that everybody who came from Adam and Eve, everybody, you know, they multiplied on the earth and they increased so much. Somebody asked the question one time, where did Cain get his wife? Cain married one of his sisters, because at the time there was no law against it. It wasn't wrong to marry your sister, and so he married his sister. Alright? For the Bible says that Adam and Eve had many other children. That's what the Bible teaches. Okay? Alright. You remember Abraham married his stepsister too, the daughter of his father, but not the same mother. So at the time they could. I even understand in Nigeria, there are some people, they marry their cousins, you know. Okay? It just has to be a family of cousins. That whole clan is, they are all cousins and cousins and cousins, you know. While in some places, they are going to trace it. If there's anything that looks close, you are finished. But come to think of it, we all came from the same parents, all the way down to Adam. Praise God. All right. So, chapter 9, watch it. I said everybody who came from Adam and Eve died somewhere along the line. They died. They all perished. You remember? At the waters of Noah, everybody died. There was only one family that was on the face of the earth. So we all came from that one family. But it's amazing that so much is untaught about Noah, except that there was water. That's about all everybody knows about Noah. Hey, everybody drowned. Noah and his kids and his wife were saved. Praise God. That's about all we know about Noah. But there's a lot. See, we need to stop tracing so much to Adam and Eve. We should stop at Noah. You don't get this. See, because if we go to Genesis like we did just now, you're going to find all the men and all the women going, oh, no wonder there's... We have to go to the labor ward all the time. We have to give birth. And then all the men is saying, no wonder there's so much hardship in the world. We can't get any money. See, hey, listen, all that generation passed away in the flood. There was a new beginning. Come to Noah, chapter 8, Genesis. Glory to God. Now, you remember the waters, the rain fell several weeks, and then everybody died, and then the rain stopped. And Noah and his family came out. Now, there's a new beginning. This is the only family in all the world. Watch this now. He came out in verse 20, chapter 8, Genesis, verse 20. And Noah, he had come out, builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Glory. Are you still there? Hey, are we still going through the curse? No. Simple. It's good to study the Bible. Hallelujah. I will not again touch the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. I'm not going to kill everybody as I have done. Why? Ooh, I like this. Look at verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful. So the blessing has come back. Hallelujah. The blessing has come back. Oh. Look at chapter 9 from verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That was what he told Adam and Eve before. But they messed up and God has to start all over again. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Come on, talk to me now. You know, we say that, oh, right from the scene of Adam, the lion gained the dominion and fear came to man. Yeah, that's true. But that ought to have ended in the days of Noah. Because they got the dominion one more time. Look at it here. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the field. They see you, they run except you call them. Hello? And upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Woo! I like it. Oh, listen. This is one reason. You've got to talk to your friends, your cousins, all those guys who are... Hey, how many of you know a robber is somebody's son? Somewhere... somebody from, I mean, he didn't drop from the sky. Somebody gave birth to that thief. Somebody must have. He must be someone's brother. Someone's cousin. Somebody's friend somewhere. Come on, do you know that? Somebody's got to talk to him. Watch this now. This is touchy. I want you to know that what God said here, he didn't say to the children of Israel, for there were no children of Israel. There was no Israel at this time. There was no nation at this time. Only one family on the face of the earth. So what God says to them now, he says to everybody. Everybody. Listen. Verse 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Hello? Some people boil blood and eat it. And they say it tastes like liver. Be careful. This is not to the children of Israel, this is to everybody. Are you hearing me? And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. Any beast that kills a man. Huh. God says that beast cannot die a normal death. I want you to observe. This is so important. This is so important. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Oh, do you like this? This is wonderful. That's the reason you can read the rest of it for yourself. And God said, the sign of my covenant with you is the bow, the rainbow. Have you ever seen the rainbow?
Yeah.
All right. No matter the scientific explanation you get, the Bible tells us it came there once upon a time. All right? It was not always there. It started in the days of Noah. And God put it there. God said, anytime I look at the sins of the world and I want to destroy the whole world, I'll remember my covenant because my bow will now come up there. And when I see the bow, I will refrain from taking action against the earth. Praise God. So every time you see that thing, say, thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name forever. Amen. All right, there's a seed principle. There's a seed principle. Glory to God. There's a seed principle. I want you to turn quickly to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Chapter 55. And I am reading verse number 10. God's talking here. Are you there? For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give, watch this, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now watch this. He says, as the rain comes down and blah blah blah, and but water the earth. Now he says, but water the earth and make it bring forth. Now he says the earth brings forth, the rains will water the earth, and the earth will bring forth, and so that it will give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That means seed for sowing comes first. Hear me. God is letting us know that we sow first before we eat. He's telling us when there is the crop, when we get our produce, what we take out first is for sowing before the one for eating. He gives seed first to the sower. Now hear me. If you use the best seeds for sowing, you're going to have a better crop next season. But if you eat up the best and reserve the worst for sowing, you're going to have a poorer harvest next season. You're going to have a poorer harvest next season because you're going to be sowing the worst of your seeds. Can you see why some folks have problems in their lives? Now listen, this is a principle for everything about life. Everything about life. Jesus said it. Let me show you. We're in this afternoon session, which is a short one. I should be winding up in the next few minutes. But I've got to show you this. Chapter 4, St. Mark's Gospel. I can only just take a little here. Have you found it? Quickly, St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. St. Mark's Gospel. I want to read from 26 verse. And he said, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, what's important here is the kingdom of God is like sowing and reaping. Are you hearing me? Okay, look at the 30th verse. Whereunto, Jesus is talking again, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. Again, he compares the kingdom of God to sowing and reaping. Are you hearing this now? He didn't say, how shall we compare some things in the kingdom of God? No, he said, how shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's the whole kingdom. So everything that's working in the kingdom of God is comparable to seed time and harvest. So this is the principle in the kingdom of God. Hey, you got to watch your life. This is the principle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, go quick to Genesis. I want to show you this. And oh, boy. You remember God called Abraham. Chapter 13. God called Abraham and he said, I bless you. I make you a blessing. I bless you and bless your seed. And your seed will be a blessing. And through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, chapter 13. Genesis, and I want to read from the 14th verse. And the Lord said unto Abraham, that's just before his name was changed. After that, Lot was separated from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And watch this now. The 16th verse is what I want you to mark. He says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the land of it and in the bread of it, for I will give it unto thee. He says, I will make that seed as the dust of the earth. Two things about dust. One, you actually cannot count the dust, because you're going to have to count every particle of the dust. But while you're still accounting, there's more dust coming. So it's impossible to count the dust. Because the more you count the dust, the more it comes. So he didn't say that. Watch this. He says, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. That means the principle here that has to do with the dust is what your seeds can be compared with. The more they try to count them, the more they get. Hallelujah. And the more they try to kill them, see, as you're trying to wipe away dust, hey, try it for yourself. You just wipe the thing and come back tomorrow. You're going to find dust again. Hey, where is the dust coming from? Hey, shut your windows, shut your doors, and take a holiday. You come back. the doors being shut and the windows being shut, you're surely going to find dust one more time. He's saying to Abraham, nobody can be through with you. You've come to stay. Glory to God. What a principle of life. Amen. But here's this man. He's talking to this man. He doesn't have a son. And God knows that there is a principle, the seed principle. And this man has faith, but his faith hasn't come up yet. So he can have faith to have one child, but to have a multitude, he's got to have seed faith. So what does God do? You remember the words of Jesus? The Master said, except a corn of wheat falling to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth what? Much fruit. That's the principle. You know, when you sow a seed, it dies first. You know it dies first? Come on now. It dies first. It dies first. The seed dies first. And then suddenly, that's glory. Oh, hallelujah. Abraham, what are you going to do? Hey, you're going to have a multitude as the dust of the earth. But how's that going to be? In the 15th verse, God makes the covenant, ratifies it in the 17th chapter, in 15th chapter, and then in the 17th chapter, he ratifies it. And then in the 18th chapter, the promise is made clearer to Sarah. They're going to have a son. And in the 19th chapter, the 18th chapter, latter part of the 18th chapter, the Bible tells us Abraham becomes an intercessor. Thank God. Hallelujah. And then in the 20th chapter, he got trouble with Abimelech. In the 21st chapter, his son is born. Praise God. His son is born. Amen. The following year, God comes in. The following chapter, sir. God comes in. What does he do? Now you have something. Like God gives you a job. Like God gives you money. Like God gives you seed. He says he gives seed to the sower. And then bread to the eater. So you got to sow first before you reap. You cannot reap without sowing. And if your life is going to be dependent on your habits, it means it is actually dependent on your sowing. So to eat, you must keep your seed out. Don't eat your seed. Why did the prodigal son come back empty? Because the Bible says he spent everything. He spent everything. There's a difference between giving and spending. When you spend all your money, it cannot return. You're going to be empty. Don't spend all your money. Not only money, everything about life. Be careful. Don't spend everything you got. Learn that there must be the giving and then the spending. Are you still out there? Watch what happens. And it came to pass, verse 1, chapter 22, Genesis, came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. Old King James translation says, yet. It's the right word. God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Take your son now to the mountain of Moriah. And offer him there. He's going to kill his son. For God. God says, give me your son. See, if you don't give God your son, you're not going to have more. Hey, the promise for a multitude will never come to pass. You're never going to have your seed as the dust of the earth until you sow the seed. And it's just not, hey, what does the man do? You know the story. He took his little boy and went there to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. And while he was about to kill him, God said, Abraham, stop. What does the Bible say about it? Hebrews 11 chapter. Rush there now. This is rush hour. Rush hour now. Rush hour traffic. Are you there? Chapter 11. We got to do this quick. Oh, where are you? Where are you now? Are you there? Are you there? Hebrews 11. Oh, where am I now? Verse. Oh, Lord, where is it? Yeah, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, have you seen it? Offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Accounting that God was able. Now, verse 19 is what I want you to mark. Watch it. The Bible says he offered his son, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What does that mean? It says that when Abraham took his little boy and was going to offer him as a sacrifice to God, in his mind he was convinced that God was able to raise him from the dead. In other words, he had sentenced his son to death. He was going to kill him, but he trusted that God would be able to raise him up. Which means the man believed in the seed faith principle. The seed's got to die first. And so the Bible says, from whence he received him in a figure. In other words, according to God, as far as God was concerned, when he offered his son and God said, stop, don't kill him. As far as God was concerned, Isaac was raised from the dead. He was as good as dead. He gave his son, he planted his son. Now watch what follows here. Right after he offered him, back to Genesis. Hurry, back to Genesis 22. There it is. Alright. Oops, I like this. I like it. Oh boy. From verse 16. 15 will be alright. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Glory to God. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Can you see that? Watch verse 20. Hey, I like it. And it came to pass after these things that it was so. Listen, some of his relatives were also barren. Are you hearing me? Some of his relatives were barren. And then Abraham has had a son now by God, and things are working out fine. So God says, hey, you want blessings? You remember, Abraham was to be a blessing. He was to be a blessing to everybody. See, when you are blessed, the family you come from also starts getting out of the blessing. Are you hearing me? I mean, the thing starts affecting everybody. Amen. So, what happened here? When the man sowed that seed of his son, he planted that seed, his son. The Bible tells us, after these things, his relatives, things started happening. The barren ones gave birth. Look at it here. And it came to pass, verse 20. After these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor. Your brother's wife has given birth too, praise God. Not only that, Hus his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazor, and Phildash, and Jiblash, and Bethuel, this is wonderful, and all of them, and his concubine whose name was Juma, she bore also Teba and Geham and Sahash and Mekah. I mean, everybody was just, everything started happening. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, my time is out. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad about it? Yep, we're talking seed faith. We're talking seed faith. It's something you have to apply. We're going to learn more in another service. But just remember, if it works for one, it'll work for another under the same circumstances. And God has a dream for all his children. He wants all his kids to prosper. He wants everyone doing fine. He wants everybody up and doing what he asked him to do. Amen? God wants you to prosper. God wants you well. God wants you sound. Hallelujah. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Yep. That's what he wants for you. No matter what job you do, whatever your class is, he just wants you to have abundance. Abundance means you have more than you require, so you can help somebody else. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You are a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
See yourself that way only. No matter what somebody else says, you are called for a blessing. Nobody can curse you. Nothing can curse you. You are a blessing. Lift your hands toward heaven and bless His holy name. And thank Him. When you walk out of here today, you just keep saying, I am a blessing in the name of Jesus. I am a blessing. Hallelujah to Jesus. I am a blessing. Praise God. I am a blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus.